Clone the customer acquisition method of the market maker for the market you're trying to go into. Start there. Be blue in your offer, but not blue in how you acquire customers. Just do what everyone else is doing. Then, once you've validated your offer, then go do the new and interesting and unique ways of customer acquisition.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capless pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Alrighty, I have started this podcast three separate times. This is the third time. Because I the last version I went through, I dove straight into the tactics, and I was like, gosh, if I don't teach him like where this comes from, it's not going to be very powerful. There's no story. It was just straight tactics. And I was like, man, this feels weird, you know? I was working with one of my coaches this last week. I have two or three business coaches that I've been working with, for one of them for 3 years, the other for a year and a half, almost two, I'd say, coming up on two-ish. And they're teaching me the psychology and the emotional reasoning behind why we first speak to emotion, you know, and then go to the logic. Even though everyone wants the logic first, it doesn't sink very far in. So anyway, that being said, a couple of years, it was back in 2018, I started noticing that, you know, I was preparing for a speech. I was preparing for some stage stuff. And actually, it was the first OfferMind event. And I was working through this epiphany and this really big idea at the time that origin stories are not just about or for people. Markets also have origin stories. All right, so stick with me for a second as I kind of unpack this, because it relates to what I want to share with you and why I restarted this episode and why this is number three now. I want to use the example of something that we all know. So I'm going to say network marketing, okay? I love network marketing. I'm in network marketing. It's awesome. My funnels have auto-recruited over 1,400 people. They work very well. Most people don't even know I'm in it because I use funnels. You know, like, it's really amazing. If you look back at like where network marketing really started, you can look this up, right? I believe Amway was the first company. And if you're not in it, just stick with me and listen to the principle, because I found the same pattern in literally every single market. And it's been one of the ways that I have answered the question, what funnel should I build first? Once upon a time, Amway was like, oh my gosh, we need to make more sales. And so they're like, let's get creative. What else can we go do? And you can read it. I believe it was Amway. It's been a while since I've read this marketing history story. And Amway was like, let's go. I have an idea. What if the sales team, like, you know, they all got together and then one guy like stood up and then did a little presentation and then we all like kind of hang out. It's like the basis of the first home party. And so they did. And it worked. And like, wow, that's awesome. So then they like did it again. And then they're like, what if we like three-way call some of our friends and like, you know, you can introduce me to your friend, and since they don't know me, there'll be a rise to authority with it, and like I'll close them on the phone about this opportunity, and then if I close it, like, you'll get some of the commission. And it worked. And suddenly multi-tiered commission-based sales was born, right? Or multi-level marketing, right? And so what do you think the next company did that came along and was like, that's an epic model, we should just like do the same, right? Then they clone the same model, and the next company comes in and clones the same model. And what you realize is that what they proved was a customer acquisition method. The first few businesses in a marketplace, besides the offer, what they're also proving is the customer acquisition method. Let's relate it to another market we all probably are very familiar with, especially if you listen to this podcast, sales funnels, right? So the category king comes in, they create the market, and they validate the market, not just with product, but with customer acquisition method. So think about this, let's apply this. So ClickFunnels comes in, right? They build ClickFunnels, right? First product of its kind, sets a new tone for tons of stuff. Wow, amazing, right? Creates an entire market, and not even like industry, right? Like wow. But what was the customer acquisition method that was being taught and peddled and that everybody else went and started cloning? Webinars. Webinars were the original vehicle to bring in tons of people. And they still work, by the way. I laugh so hard when someone says webinars don't work. That usually means they're trying to sell you something. Okay, webinars work very well. I still do them. Okay, mostly with organic traffic also right now. Like, holy smokes. And we turn ads back on also, and they're doing great. So most of like the, it doesn't work anymore, it's just crap between your ears, all right? So anyway, a market comes along. It gets proved by not only product, by customer acquisition method. So what do all the other competitors in that marketplace do? Well, they clone what already was. They be different or new or unique somehow or better in terms of product, but usually there's not much innovation on customer acquisition. They just do what the previous company did to collect its customers, which is really smart, right? Straight up copying, right? They're doing a webinar, we're gonna do a webinar. Different offer, but they're still doing a webinar, right? I wanted you to kind of like open your eyes to that. So what funnel should you go create first if you're going into a brand new marketplace? I would see however the category king has made its most sales. And I would do probably the same thing. Why would not use the exact same method that the marketplace was born with? Does that make sense what I'm saying? That answers a huge amount of your questions. What funnel should I use first? It's like, just do what the market leaders are doing, right? Do what they're doing first, funnelize it, right? And then go innovate. Because you don't want to test too many variables at once. You should just be testing your offer. So use the same acquisition method that everyone else in that market has already proven, using your new and existing interesting, exciting offer. And once you can prove the offer, then go innovate with your new funnel type. Then go do a challenge when no one else in that market has or whatever. Then go do, does that make sense? That helps a ton. This also has gone a very different turn than I thought I was going to. With that backdrop, let me shift gears. Keep that in your head, okay? I'll say the other part with this. When the market leader has also proved out an additional customer acquisition method, it's crazy to not also do it. So I'm gonna ask you right now, if we look at ClickFunnels and the market maker of Funneland, right? What are the ways that they have proven right now that they keep talking about that are the best ways to acquire a customer? Webinars, we already talked about that. Challenges, free challenges, oh my gosh, or paid, whatever, just challenges. There's a lot of ways to do all these. Events, continuity. Those are things that fit in every business, right? Front ends, call funnels, they do all that stuff. They're literally giving you a customer acquisition map. Why would you not do all of them? I was going through and I was, right? So I noticed that this is 2018 when I first noticed that. And I taught a lot of that kind of stuff back in the very first offer mine, and it was way too deep. It was way too deep. There's no disrespect to people who are in the audience. I'm not saying that they're not deep. I'm just saying that I went way too deep. The first time you ever teach some of your epiphanies, usually it comes out nerdy, right? Because you're using your own languaging, and while you learned a cool thing, you haven't learned how to teach the cool new thing, which is two very different things. So I went way too deep. And so I kind of tabled it. I call it Red Ocean Analytics. And I used to teach it a lot. And it's just, well, I taught it a few times. And I was like, this is nerdy. I don't know if people actually want to learn this stuff. They just want the offer part. So that's why I zeroed in on the offer piece. And then once I got the offer piece, like, people just want to, like, you can make an offer and be broke. You got to learn how to launch, which is a marketer mindset. Very different than entrepreneurship, right? So then I went into the launch thing. And then people are like, cool, but now I need new funnels. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, here's my funnel course. Right? So I have an offers, a launches, and a funnel course. And it's really the framework I use for everything. I use it still, Internet Launch Secrets and Sales Funnel Officer. Those are the two. I use those things everywhere. Anyway, so stick with me as I unpack this next idea. So keep in your mind, though, the whole notion that what you're really doing when you enter a new marketplace is you are cloning the customer acquisition method that the category king proved already. That way you don't have to take a risk and gamble. I don't want to gamble on how I get customers, all right? I'm not a gambler in general, but I don't want my risk to be there. I want any risk I'm willing to take on the fact that I've got a brand new offer that no one's ever seen before. That's it. I want to limit the amount of variables that I have risk on to just that, and stick with that, just move forward. And so table that for a second, customer acquisition method. That has gotten me into more of challenges, right? So I'm gonna shift gears a little, talking about webinars. Let me talk about challenges for a second. So I love challenges. You all know, a lot of you found me through the One Funnel Away Challenge, which is awesome, excited to have you, what's up? All right, there was like 50 or 60,000 people that came through while I was the coach for them. A lot of people, a lot of case studies, a lot of scenarios, a lot of backgrounds, a lot of industries, a lot of products. A lot of dream customers. That's a lot of, like, coaching is a very fast way to grow yourself, by the way, because you just see so much so fast. Just the exposure that you get is amazing. And anyway, let's table that for just a second here, because I want to share with you how I'm using challenges. It's a little bit different. I have been loving making the Capital's Pick newsletter. It's a place for me to go deep and nerd out without distracting my existing customers and students. I'm very proud of my newsletter. And we have a section in there that I just put in. We're absolutely just crapping on socialists. Just like absolutely crapping on them. We have a section in there that only highlights where socialism lost.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
In current events, and capitalism won in current events. Just, I call it news from the front. All right, just absolutely crap. It's so funny. Oh my gosh. Oh man. The Capitalist Pig newsletter. I'm very proud of it. It's $29 a month. It's cheap. It's a place for me to get all the stuff out of my head. I have guest articles. I've got a place where people who are my students can list their launch to get a little exposure. I got some places and I go deep. I go real deep. We highlight a student of the month. It's really fun. I do a lot for $29. And I know that. And there are others that are like, "Oh, we just outsource it." I'm like, "No, this is going to be my art. I like to write." So anyway, let me tie this all together. I have been using, so let's pause that thought also for a second, because I'll wrap this all in one bow here. What I've been doing is, I was like, okay, I'm going to go clone the customer acquisition method, which is really what funnel hacking is, of the category king in a market, right? So I'm going to go do challenges. It's crazy for me to not do challenge. I haven't found an industry yet that doesn't work. You know, most of them work with challenges. You don't always call it a free 5-day challenge, but like this still is the concept and such. Anyway, so we use these free 5-day challenges to get a lot of customers. And what we're doing in these challenges is very different than a second type of challenge that I am now using. And that's truly why I started this podcast episode. And it's just taken me a bit to get to this spot here because I had to give you some backstory. There's a second type of challenge that I'm using. And the second kind of challenge is, well, the first type is if you go to 5dayoffer.com, you can see what I'm doing. I'll do it live again, probably one more time, and then I'll automate it with a lot of live components, like live Q&A or live, I don't like total automation. I like to still have live components in it. And I think, honestly, people do too, to attend a challenge that has some type of live component. But the issue is I run into, like, man, that session I taught was fire. Like, can I replicate that again? You know what I mean? So when I get a speech out that I'm like, "That was awesome," and then I automate, it doesn't mean that you're not getting live components. What it means is that there's something that I did that I thought was so epic, I'm nervous to ever be able to duplicate that again. So you're getting the best of 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 every time I've ever done one of those sessions. And then what's the live part is like a lot of the live Q&As and how does this apply to me and help me figure this out and the coaching aspects, which has been really fun. So anyway, so that we've been using these free 5-day challenges to help people plan and design and ideate on whatever the topic is. Come plan your next offer in 5 days, 5dayoffer.com, right? So that's kind of the concept behind that. But what I've been doing is when somebody upgrades to VIP, they're getting what should be on day six. It's only a 5-day challenge and it ends on day five. But what should they be doing after they plan and ideate and design their offer? They should be building it and validating it piece by piece in like a prototype, you know, just get market feedback kind of a way. And so what I've been creating is this, I call it, it's a 28-day build it challenge. And it sits off the back of my free 5-day offer challenge, which is really about planning and designing and ideating. It's crazy to think that you come in and plan, ideate, design, validate, build, and sell an offer in 5 days. Like, if you're extremely experienced, I could see that. But just, should you in the first place? Certain things are meant to be built slow and with the market so that it's built well. All right, so I hope you're catching what I'm putting down here on this. I cloned the customer acquisition method of the marketplace that I'm penetrating, right, that I'm going into. And then what I'm doing is using that same method for fulfillment and onboarding. I had this big realization probably about a year ago. I was like, oh my gosh, challenges are not just a great way to acquire customers. They also are really epic onboarding and fulfillment. And so this free five-day offer challenge helps them plan it, while the 28-day build it challenge helps them build it. And then I was like, holy crap, like, does that mean that whatever customer acquisition method that you sell somebody with sets a tone and a precedent for how you should fulfill on them also? Meaning, if you sold someone with a webinar, should you fulfill the first thing that, not that that's the only thing that you use to fulfill on, but that maybe that's just like, oh, you bought with a webinar? Let me begin fulfillment and onboarding with a webinar, even if it's automated. Oh, you bought through a phone call? Let's start your onboarding and fulfillment with another phone call. Oh, you bought with a challenge? Let's start your fulfillment and onboarding with another challenge. Does that make sense? Oh, you bought with an event? How many times do we hear about that one of the coolest event strategies is at your first event, sell another event, right? That's more high ticket and more high touch and helping a lot of people. And this pattern, like, holy crap, it like really sandwiches it. So I'm really excited by what I've been putting out. I know this is a thick episode. Okay, I know this is just thick, but it's one of the epiphanies that I've been having and doing and dealing with right now. And there's no better way to teach something than to demonstrate it live. Dramatic demonstration. That's what that is, right? So what I've decided to do is to teach this 28-day build it challenge live by actually using it to build an offer and launch it live, which is going to be my next event ticket. So I'm gonna go in and I'm going to build the offer around this and I'm gonna validate it. And you're gonna see me on Facebook start to post certain things that are little teasers and little, do you like this? And if you look at what I'm really doing, read between the lines, you're seeing that I'm doing an ask campaign or getting validation on a certain offer here or there. I'm really excited about that. So anyway, stoked for it. You guys are awesome. I hope that was a helpful episode. Just whatever you're doing to sell, I believe that you need to plan the funnel and fulfillment in the same sitting. Otherwise, you're prone to develop a really powerful sales machine without a very powerful fulfillment machine. Both have to be epic, right? This is where you can get into the whole, there's a bit of a stereotype for internet marketers that we know how to sell crap real well. We got to break the stigma and the stereotype that, ooh, the fulfillment sucks. No, you should spend twice as much time planning fulfillment and an amazing customer experience as you do on how to sell somebody. Like, please come to the offer launch event. The event that I'm coming up with, it'll be the third time I've done offer launch, but it's gonna be different than I've done in the past, because I want to show this part of it. I want you to see, like, hey, when I plan a funnel, this is really what's going on. Okay, you can see a third of this diagram is the funnel, 2/3 of it is fulfillment, right? And how we actually make an incredible experience, and in so we are actually covering one of the core functions that all companies have, right? Which is to fulfill. Right, you got to retain, you got to upsell and resell. You can design those things. It's not luck. Design it. You should design it. Make a part of fulfillment. Anyway, it's going to be a very different style of offer launch event. Offer launch has basically become my yearly live event. Basically my funnel hacking live, if you will. Like, I've pushed it back 2 or 3 times this year because I just didn't have the feel goods yet. And I definitely make decisions based on that as well. So, but I will, you know, and I'm excited to have that. It's going to be great. Anyway, I know I mentioned a lot of things. If you haven't checked out the Capital Speak newsletter, I think you'd really like it. It's me going deep, kind of like what I did on this episode. But writing lets you get a lot more details down than me just kind of like pontificating on a podcast, right? Be sure to check out the next episode as well. I've already recorded it, but I want to talk about the future. I want to talk about the future of Sales Funnel Radio. I'm excited to tell you more more about that. It's been a very labored decision, so I'll tell you more about it in the next episode. Whole point, let me just nutshell real quick. Clone the customer acquisition method of the market maker for the market you're trying to go into. Start there. Be blue in your offer, but not blue in how you acquire customers. Just do what everyone else is doing. Then, once you've validated your offer, then go do the new and interesting and unique ways of customer acquisition. That's what I would do. Realizing that whatever that method is actually a fantastic way to fulfill and set up the onboarding and the precedent for your onboarding that way. And not that every product is onboarding, but fulfillment, right? However the fulfillment is, some aspect of the offer being, hey, you bought with a webinar. First thing you got to go through, though, is a case study, which is another great thing I call a webinar. You're going to go through a case study of whatever the bonus is that you love the most or whatever the first thing, right? And use the same, because they are used to that style now. They bought because of that method, right? And now use that same method to help plan your onboarding and your fulfillment. There's a lot of ways to fulfill, but I find that our marketplace doesn't do a great job, sadly, on the fulfillment side of it. And so I'm trying to give us a way to think about it. However you sold them, use the same thing to go back and actually start planning the fulfillment piece on. All right, I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over again. Awesome. Hey guys, go check out 5dayoffer.com if you haven't. And also, I've been doing a lot more podcast interviews, which has been super fun, or however you want to do interviews. There's 180 of you guys on a waiting list, but you know, I'll answer in the order it was received. I'm really excited. I'd love to get on and share any value I can. Go to stevejlarson.com for see what I'm up to. I've also made stevejlarson.com kind of like the, if you want to know what's going on, it's kind of like the billboard, right? It's like you can see at all times kind of what's happening there. Anyway, you guys are awesome. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Hey, if you weren't aware, stevejlarson.com is my hub for all things that I'm involved with. If you want more traffic, offers, funnels, launches, content, leads, or if you'd like some consulting, actually, if you even want to rent our studio for your challenge or event or have me on your show, it's actually all on stevejlarson.com. There's also a contact link, of course, and we actually call that page type that you'll see there a hero funnel, or I call it a PR funnel, because it highlights all the common PR questions. Now, I only bring that up because this is a show called Sales Funnel Radio, but that's what you'll see when you go there. If you're not sure where to start in this internet marketing world, stevejlarson.com has a list of great resources and education links for you. I even have a little Easter egg Atari game that I paid someone to make in the footer called Funnel Heroes. You'll see it there at stevejlarson.com.